Good morning. It is so great to be together with you today with our faith family here in Halifax and with our church family in Ottawa and with everyone who happens to be tuning in and listening to us. You know, we here in Halifax have been immensely appreciative of our time as we go through our transition of joining with the Ottawa Church to worship. And we want to especially say thank you. Thank you for you sharing your Sunday mornings with us, for you even adjusting the time that you do gather together to worship to accommodate us. And you've really been true family to us, and we feel very, very loved and cared for. Many of you may not know this, but last March, my wife Nancy and I had actually been invited to come to Ottawa by Tony and Melanie to spend the weekend with you. But the global pandemic derailed that, and it actually derailed many, many other plans that several of us had made. So this morning, you get just me. But hopefully, when we get out the other end of this pandemic, we'll be able to reschedule that, and you'll have the benefit of my much better half. So for the folks in Ottawa, I wanted to say hello, and I can see you. And I just want to give a shout out to Howard and Eric and Karen, Dave and Laura, Taylor and Ben, Ellie Hammond, John Revel, Alex, Pedro, Carmela, and the rest of your Hope team. You know, this past few weeks, we've been doing a series revolved around the theme of becoming like him, examining the scriptures and seeing what we can do to become more like the Jesus, our Savior, that we follow. My lesson this morning is entitled Filled with Compassion, and we'll be reading about Jesus' interaction with and healing of a man with leprosy. This account that we see, this encounter with Jesus, we see in three of the Gospels, Matthew 8, Mark 1, and Luke 5. We'll be reading mainly from the Gospel of Mark's account, but I'll refer to the other two in Matthew and Luke to give us a deeper picture. You know, each of these gospel accounts differ a little slightly in their order and their chronology as the writers record their recollection of the event from their vantage point as they communicate these events to the specific audience that each of them was addressing as they wrote their gospels. So if you have a Bible, if you want to flip to a tablet, please read with me Mark chapter 1, and we'll read verses 40 to 44. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You know, first, I'd like us to consider when this event occurred in the ministry of Jesus. The gospel account of this story in Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, states, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him." You know, we know from previous chapters of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which we did a series on in the fall, and what we're called the Sermon of the Mount. So from a timeline perspective, this interaction occurs right after the Sermon on the Mount. And if you recall, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches about the importance of transforming our hearts and loving other people as he teaches about mercy, forgiveness, loving our enemies, and not judging others. And as was the common practice of rabbis in that day, and our Lord was called rabbi by his disciples numerous times, Now that Jesus had taught something, it was now the time to apply what he had taught so that his disciples, his followers, could see how to apply the teaching they had just learned. Mercy, loving others, not judging others. And here we have a perfect example as a man with leprosy comes up to Jesus, falls on his knees, and begs him to make him clean. You know, next I'd like to take a closer look at whom Jesus is interacting with. All three gospel writers refer to this person as a man with leprosy, Mark 1 verse 40, Matthew 8 verse 2, or a man who was covered with leprosy, Luke 5 verse 12, not as the leper. You see, as the scriptures reveal to us him being referred to this way, I believe that God, through his Holy Spirit, is showing us that he does not want us to define people in our community, to limit or box in or label or stigmatize by their condition or their situation. But rather, I believe he wants us to view them through the lens of what they are experiencing or going through. In the same way, if be the case in our modern times, I believe it's healthier to refer to people who are experiencing homelessness as opposed to that homeless person. Can you see the difference? So let's talk about leprosy for a moment. The term leprosy was used in the Bible to describe a variety of infectious skin diseases. To help us understand the condition a bit more, I'd like to read from this commentary. In the ancient world, leprosy was a terrible, destructive disease, and still is in some parts of the world. The ancient leper had no hope of improvement, so this leper came to Jesus with a great sense of need and desperation. Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some parts of the body. The nerve trunks are affected, the muscles waste away, the tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulceration of the hands and the feet. Then comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes, and until the end, a whole hand or a whole foot may drop off. Duration of that kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. It is a kind of terrible progressive death in which a man dies by inches. According to Jewish law and customs, one had to keep 6 feet, 2 meters from a leper. That doesn't sound familiar with us these days in our pandemic. 6 feet, 2 meters. If the wind was blowing toward a person from a leper, they had to keep 150 feet, 45 meters away. The only thing more defiling than contact with a leper was contact with a dead body. Back in December 2014, our family had the incredible opportunity Worldwide Youth Corps as a family. That trip left several indelible marks on each of us. One event in particular was the day that we went to serve at the Village of Hope, which is a facility that has transformed the lives for the better of about 800 families who are experiencing the effects of leprosy. You know, unlike in the first century, today, leprosy is 100% curable. Yet people who have contracted it still live with the physical as well as the societal impacts of the disease on their lives. And you should be seeing a photo right now here. It's in the Village of Hope. We served and helped clean and bandage the wounds of those who have been affected by the disease. The bandaging center provides free wound care for over 7,500 wounds every month to prevent the spread of infection. What the disciples in India, along with Hope India, filled with compassion to be able to accomplish has been remarkable. And for the hundreds of men and women who were ostracized due to the disease, and where initially about 80% of them survived on street begging, now through vocational training and treatment, now almost 90% of the villagers can support themselves and their families through jobs and training. You know, if you know me, I'm a bit of a squeamish person. I don't like blood, don't like messes. And I was initially quite hesitant to take my turn cleaning and rebandaging one of the villagers who had come to the clinic. However, I had to stop and remind myself that I had traveled halfway around the world for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve others. And here, in this moment, to literally do something that Jesus did, to reach out and to touch someone impacted by leprosy. More importantly, that this interaction was not about me, but it was about someone else, another one of God's children that I was there to serve and to be with. And as I engaged with my new buddy through a translator, I learned about his life. For Bakar, who was 44 at the time, has had the disease since he was 16. His wife left him because of his leprosy. His daughter is married and has three children. Sadly, it's, as he shared with me, it's been so long since he last saw them that he does not remember their names or the ages of his grandchildren. Unfortunately, he is still living with the stigma of the disease. Just have to take a drink from my Toronto Maple Leafs. On top for now, how long that lasts, who knows. You know, thirdly, back to our encounter with Jesus, let's look at how this man approached Jesus. Here was a man, the scriptures do not reveal how long he's had leprosy. We do know that according to the customs of the day, he was cut off from society, cut off from his family, unless they had chosen to live with him and then they themselves be cut off. And he was denied full membership in his community and from the synagogue. I think it's interesting to grasp how this man must feel in his heart that his religion prevented him from being in fellowship with others of his own faith. The Gospel of Matthew says he knelt before Jesus. The Gospel of Luke tells us he begged Jesus on his knees. Luke tells us that he fell with his face to the ground and begged Jesus. You know, as I read these accounts and as I reflected on them, I had to ask myself, am I as bold, as desperate, as humble, and as reverent before Jesus as this man when there's something I want or need to change? You know, finally, let's look at take a deeper look at what Jesus did here. Under Torah law, anyone with leprosy was determined to be unclean, and the person could not enter the temple or a synagogue to worship God. Hence, being unclean was an incredible inconvenience as it interrupted a person's worship of God. Before the person affected by it could be restored to communion with God and to his people, they must be certified by one of the priests to have been delivered from the disease. In the book of Leviticus, the third book of Torah, it gave the Israelites many of the more religious and legal practices that they were to follow, including leprosy. However, Leviticus never commanded the stigma that eventually came from having leprosy. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had just finished teaching about some of the rules of Torah and how to correctly apply them with love and with compassion, as he talked about murder, adultery, divorce, taking oath, and many other things. And he spoke to us about the condition of our hearts and how it applies to how we treat other people. If we read through Leviticus 13 carefully, do we find a command or a rule or a law about not touching lepers? No, it's not in there. The law was given so that you don't touch or love people with leprosy. The law was given to instruct the Israelites what to do when they touch people who had leprosy. It implied that you would interact with them. It implied that you would encounter them and touch them. It didn't say don't touch them. It said, here's what you do if and when you touch them. However, over time, the oral law developed into an oral tradition that led to the creation of that stigma. You know, back in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out and touched him, casting aside the traditions, the stigma, the outcastedness, the social ostracization, and truly loved the man. Jesus could have healed him from a distance. We have other accounts in the scriptures that actually describe that. The Matthew 8 account of Jesus' interaction with the man with leprosy, the next few verses that follow, we see that Jesus healed the centurion's servant from a distance. So Jesus could have done that here. But here we see Jesus choosing the manner that would be most meaningful to that individual. He personalized his compassion. The scriptures don't explicitly reveal this to us, but knowing what I know of Jesus, and I'm still learning and growing, and I've got much more to learn, I would like to think that as he assessed the situation, he may have thought to himself, what does this person need from me to feel loved? What does this person need to feel from me to feel love? But interesting enough, in doing so, in touching the man, under Torah laws in place, Jesus willingly chose to make himself unclean. He, as a rabbi, was still adhering to the Torah, albeit more correctly and completely. If you think back to Jesus, when he talks in Matthew 5, verse 17, when Jesus says, I do not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. A lot of times we think abolish means to destroy or get rid of, but to fulfill meant to interpret and then walk it out in your life. To a Jew, this meant interpreting God's commands with your heart, your soul, and your feet. To not do this, to not live it out or to apply it to a Jewish rabbi, that would mean what it meant to abolish it. Please stay with me a little bit longer on this point. If we go back to Mark's account of this encounter, chapter 2, verse 1 says, a few days later, he entered Capernaum. I put before you that this verse reveals to us that Jesus needed to stay away from the towns and people for the prescribed period of time while he was unclean under the stipulations of Torah law. In doing what he just did, by touching someone with leprosy, Jesus did not break an oral command, but an oral tradition. By his example, Jesus was saying, I am willing to be unclean by touching this man who has leprosy, because touching him and giving him what he needs is more important than my personal agenda, my schedule, or my convenience. Let me repeat that. By touching him, Jesus was demonstrating that loving this person and having compassion on them was more important than his own personal convenience. The impact we see in the scriptures was immediate. Jesus then commands this man to go and show himself to the priest and to make an offering. The Jewish people of the day were still under the Levitical laws put in place by Moses. So now, man, that you've been clean and healed, go and worship God. Honor the commands of God as prescribed by the book of Leviticus. Make the sacrifices so that you can now and be cleansed by, determined clean by a priest so that you can go back in your community and back in communion with your fellow man. Jesus also asked him not to tell anyone about this, as his time had yet not come. Yet the man whose life had just been miraculously changed could not help himself. We read in Luke's account, chapter 5, in verse 15, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. You know, when our lives have been miraculously changed, our natural reactions, we just can't help sharing that with others. As Jesus fulfilled the commands of God to love others and demonstrated how to live out those commands as he was filled with compassion, people came from all over to see and hear and learn from him. We live in a world that is filled with people who are skeptical of religion, who have been hurt, been burned, who have been let down, turned off of religion. Our world is hurting and desperately needs healing, especially during this pandemic, and especially during this, this time of political and societal upheaval. What I firmly and sincerely believe that what our world needs right now is for us who call ourselves as followers of Jesus to see us living out our lives like Jesus did, loving others. If all of us. With compassion. You know, my wife and I were so proud of the many volunteers from our church here in Halifax that we get to serve alongside. It's kind of cool. This weekend here in Halifax, is volunteers from our congregation are preparing meals for what is known as the Sunday Supper Program. And I want to thank all the volunteers that have helped this weekend and in the past over the years. The Sunday Supper Program serves a warm meal to those who are going through challenges in their lives. It began back at Christmas 1985 with an initial gathering of about a dozen guests and has now grown to serve over 10,000 meals a year. You know, our local congregation and Hope Worldwide have been privileged to be helping out for over 18 years. We're so grateful for everyone that has served and helped us to meet this need in our community when our turn comes up on the rotation schedule. Because of the pandemic, we're now serving meals in takeaway mode safely and have seen the needs for meals each week increase about 30% because of the impact of the pandemic. But it's interesting to see, as disciples have served, we've seen and responded in greater ways to how we can assist as God allows us to use our God-given talents to help others. Our son Cameron a few years ago helped restart a foot care clinic for those that have those specific needs in this community. Another sister used her gifts to, as an audiologist, to help set up a hearing test clinic for the guests at the Sunday Supper Program. For me, volunteering in our community this way has had a profound impact on my heart, my faith, my character, my life. And I remember the first few times I showed up to volunteer, I felt so uncomfortable. I felt, because I was insecure. I was self-conscious. I was definitely outside of my comfort zone. I was with a part of my community that I did not normally interact with. You know, I asked myself, what do I say? They look different than me. They smell different than me. I needed to overcome my biases, my fears, my barriers. I needed to step outside of my comfort zone. I needed to deny myself. I needed to repent of my self-focus. I need to consider them better than myself and engage and serve. You know, it's easy to think that while serving, that I'm the one helping them. But in reality, my friends that I have made as I have helped serve have really helped transform me in my own heart and my own perspective and my own worldview. I remember one Christmas we'd had a bit of a rough time as a family, some family drama, and I'm sure none of us can relate to anything like that. But in my own little selfish world, I felt that my Christmas had been destroyed. It had been ruined. So a couple days later, I'm at the Sunday supper, and I'm sitting down with, and this is when we could sit down and not have 6 feet between us, sitting down with one of the guests that I befriended. I asked him, hey, how did your Christmas go? And he shared with me that on Christmas Day, someone had tried to break into his room to kill him. That moment gave me an incredible perspective. My reality is not his reality. Serving is so good for my heart. You know, a few years ago, the Halifax Church had embarked on a year-long campaign of serving in our community. And it was so inspiring to see all the disciples that served in so many creative, innovative, meaningful, and helpful ways. I often think back to the phrase that Marty Udall used as we began that year. He said, see the need, feel the need, meet the need. I think that captures the heart of Jesus had as he met with this man covered with leprosy. And as we try to live out the heart of Jesus in our own cities and communities. I want to say thank you for your time together this morning. It's been a privilege and honor to be able to share today a few things that are on my heart. And let's try to reflect on what we see in Jesus's life from his time with the man with leprosy. And let's all strive to be people who are filled with compassion as we walk as Jesus walked and as we live out the command to love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you, and God bless.